Welcome to the D&D 360 podcast.
Greetings and salutations. Welcome to the D&D 360 podcast. And for my returning guest, welcome back. D&D 360 is where we talk all about Dungeons & Dragons and its many editions from the past, present, and future, including third-party content and as well as other role-playing games. I'm your host, Terrell Shaw, and I'll be your guide through your journey this session. Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is Session 10, and we are going to discuss playing Call of Cthulhu. I know, slightly different, considering this is D&D 360. However, I did say we talk about not only Dungeons & Dragons, but different role-playing games. So, what is Call of Cthulhu? Call of Cthulhu is a cosmic horror genre of an RPG that takes players as investigators to be exploring and uncovering the Cthulhu mythos. And what does that entail? Well, I think it is best described by the line, "The oldest and strongest emotion of mankind is fear, and the strongest kind of fear is fear of the unknown." That is what we deal with in the Call of Cthulhu. So, what are some examples of supernatural or cosmic horror? Well, in theater or movies, some of the most iconic movies of the time represent sort of supernatural or cosmic horror the best for me. One that stands out, the oldest one that stands out actually, is The Thing, 1982, by John Carpenter. That signifies some of the Cthulhu mythos tropes inside that movie, where you have some creature of unknown origin killing off people, multiple people, in horrific fashions, and sort of a maniac or a manic, I should say, search for clues as to what is going on what could be killing it, and where did it come from. If you haven't seen the movie, I suggest definitely going out and renting it, buying it, or, you know, treating yourself to maybe somewhere it's on Netflix and to be streamed or whatnot. But it is definitely definitely a movie in the cosmic or supernatural horror genre. Believe they either did a remake or a sequel to it just recently, maybe in the last couple years, if I remember correctly. Another one is called In the Mouth of Madness, 1994. This one I have not seen, and I don't know too much about it. Every time I look for some type of reference for H.P. Lovecraft's sort of Cthulhu cosmic supernatural horror, that's one of the movies that pop up. Another one, movie that also comes out on that list, is Event Horizon. Don't know too much about that, although I know it's in space and they are near a black hole and strange things happening on that ship. Now, the last one is definitely hands down one of my favorite in this genre, and it's called The Mist. It was in 2007, and it is a story about a small, I believe it's a New England town, maybe Maine or something like that, some town that has this mysterious mist washing all over it. And for the period of, I think, a span of one day, the entire town is engulfed in madness and in fear and in tribal sort of hierarchy, where people start to align in different beliefs on what could possibly is in the mists. Some say it's the end times and it is God opening the gates of hell, unleashed on non-believers. Others believe it is some sort of experiment gone wrong by a nearby army base or whatnot. The movie is directed by Frank Darabont. If you know who he is also, I believe, the runner, the front runner used to be. That started out the first, I believe, first season of The Walking Dead. He was a showrunner for that. And he also wrote it, and it is based off of a Stephen King novella. It stars Thomas James, Marsha Gay Harden, and Laurie Holden, and a slew of others that you might recognize. In fact, a lot of them that I saw in the movie, I saw again pop up in The Walking Dead. So that was quite a reveal for me. Also, since I said Cthulhu, the Cthulhu, Call of Cthulhu game RPG is a mixture of a cosmic supernatural horror and pulp fiction action. Some examples of the pulp side of Call of Cthulhu would be movies called The Shadow, 1994. The movie stars Alec Baldwin and Penelope Ann Miller. It is thrusted, or is basically a sort of film remake of sort of the 1920s and 30s era of radio drama. These sort of tropes fill out the pulpy action of having a nemesis that the protagonist is on the trail of thwarting their dastardly plans. And clue by clue, the tropes of having a damsel in distress, or the knockdown fisticuff fight of trying to keep your antagonist from achieving its goals and whatnot. The Shadow is a movie that I might not have seen. I think I saw it when I was a little kid. I don't remember much of it. I can't speak to how good it is, but if you do see it, it's PG-13. It comes in an hour and 48 minutes. You should be able to get some kind of clue onto how the pulp feel of Cthulhu would be. Another example of the theatrical sense would be any of the Indiana Jones movies. That gives you the sort of global wide span of running around trying to thwart your evil nemesis to keep them from achieving their plans, while all along following clues to find out not only what they're up to, but to stop it. These are some of the tropes that you find in the Call of Cthulhu games, especially the 1920s setting. And that brings me to my next topic. Our next topic deals with the fictional real-world settings of Call of Cthulhu. There are two main ones, the 1920s era and the modern era. The 1920s era is the default in the original, where Call of Cthulhu is presented in the 1920s era of trying to discover and unmask the machinations of cults or people, or even unseen and unknowable creatures that are out there. You mainly start by either some sort of early organization, or you're just a average person on the street that have seen more than they should and have questions. This gets into the area of where, like, let's say you are a grocery store owner, or a maid, or a policeman, or you could be a private investigator, as one of your professions. And you've seen strange things going on. Maybe you've seen someone who is walking down a dark alleyway, and maybe at the side of your eye, you turn, and they seem to have some sort of tentacle sprout from underneath their coat. Or maybe you could almost swear that they have an eye on the back of their neck. And you go to investigate, or you go to ask questions around on what this could possibly mean. That is part of Call of Cthulhu. You are thrusted into the era of being an investigator. And an investigator, you go and try to find the answers to what you've seen, what others might have been told you about, or you try to find the answers to the unknowable, the unknown, and the unexplained. The other settings, or the other era, would be the next most popular one, would be the modern era. Now that's where you have, I think they're called, one of the offshoots of Call of Cthulhu is called Delta Green. Delta Green is basically sort of like part of a military or government organization, tracking down and discovering and exposing strange phenomena. That's quite doable and viable in Call of Cthulhu. They have rules for it and whatnot. Other alternate settings, era settings, I should say, that they also have is the 1800s gaslight era, where you uncover Cthulhu mythos, either creatures or accounts in the gaslight era of England. Then there's the Roman era. You can play Call of Cthulhu in the Roman era, you being in the ancient times, and it is called Cthulhu Invictus. So you can track that down if you're interested in playing Call of Cthulhu in that era. They also have Cthulhu Dark Ages, which, as you can guess it, is playing Call of Cthulhu, exploring and exposing the mythos in that era, which is probably terrifying, which is even less technological advancements, where you would, not much you can go on or try to fight these demons or creatures or whatnot from beyond your imagination. And then they also have Call of Cthulhu that's thrusted far, far into the future. Only one version of it is called The Reaper, where you are in a post-apocalyptic era, and you are investigating and or just trying to survive the era of when the great old ones have come and laid waste to the world, and you are trying to either survive and or fight against what has happened and try to right the wrong, which sounds scary and exciting altogether for me. Now, one question you might have is, what is the mechanical differences between Call of Cthulhu and Dungeons and Dragons? Let's talk about a few. First, Call of Cthulhu is less focused on combat and it's more narrative, meaning you narrate the things you as a player want to do and what happened, and the keeper of arcane lore is what the DM is called, basically determines whether or not that is successful or not. And how that is done is also by dice, or you can narrate it as without the dice, but you also get to play dice wise. The dice is based off of percentile dice, which is usually a D100 and a D10 octagonal dice. And you roll and you have a succeed. You succeed on what you're trying to do. Now, depending on your abilities or skills, you have a number. And through that number, you have to roll under your number to succeed. So, you also have, in Call of Cthulhu, you pay less account to measurements around your movement and whatnot. With that being is, whereas D20 and or combat-oriented games, you really sort of pay attention, unless you are doing Theater of the Mind, of course. But if you play on a grid and more, a little bit more tactical, your movement and the distance in your environment can play and make a difference. So it's less about how far and how much movement speed that you have, and it's more about narrating and can you get to that person in this particular round of combat, yes or no, whatnot. Also, there's more freedom in what you can do versus what can you do rules wise. Now, this also goes back to the narrative versus the sort of rules specific game of D&D. Now, you can also narrate your way on what you want to do, and it's completely without rolling dice. It could just happen, such as you want to say, hey, I want to pick up this this broken chair leg and use that as a weapon. You sure can, without rolling dice, without some kind of ability check to pick it up, without some sort of skill check to see, you know, how you're going about doing it. It just happens in Call of Cthulhu. Very easy to narrate, and it gives a little bit more of a natural feel of combat and natural flow of the game. I mentioned dice rolls before. Call of Cthulhu deals with the D100 sort of dice percentile dice rolls versus a D20. With the D100 percentile dice, you have skills, and the skills are based off of your profession. Makes sense, right? So if you are a professional, let's say you're a professional lawyer, or you are a professional banker, you have certain skills that go along with that. And with those skills, you have either a base score or you have a score that you've built through, such as character creation and building a character with putting points to it. And in a future episode, if people are interested, I will go through doing a character creation for the first time for Call of Cthulhu. If you're interested, please write in, let me know. And with the percentile, what you have to do is roll under the score for your skill that you have available. Can I give you an example? You want to try to find either a hidden box or a hidden note, or maybe a door or a secret note that might be slid under a desk or whatnot. The keeper of arcane lore would ask you for a spot hidden check, and your spot hidden check skill number is, let's say it's 42, right? So if it's 42, that means on a D100 roll, you'd have to roll 42 or below that number in order to succeed at it. All right? Sounds simple. It can, it sometimes it cannot be that simple. A lot of fun comes in if you get a 90 or 94 and below and higher, and you end up crit failing, and bad things happen when you crit fail. Call it Cthulhu. But that dice roll is different than in the D&D world, where you have a D20. D20 is random 1 through 20, and you are rolling 2 plus possible modifiers to either hit and above whatever your skill challenge or whatever your target number might be. Such as, if you are in combat and you wanted to swing a sword. Well, in D&D, when you swing the sword, you are trying to meet or beat the opponent's the opponent's armor class. The armor class is represented by a number, and that can be from, 10 to, 30 in some classes or whatnot, or higher. You roll a d20, and plus or minus any modifiers, and your result on the d20 will equal to either meeting or exceeding the armor class of the opponent. And that determines your success in Dungeons & Dragons. Another difference between Call of Cthulhu and Dungeons & Dragons is basically the classes versus the professional / roles of Call of Cthulhu. Call of Cthulhu don't have classes. You're not a fighter or a tank or a magic user or a ranger or anything like that. You are human, plain and simple, and you have a very small set of hit points. It harkens way back to, if you want to compare, your hit points would be about the same as it would be in D&D 1st, 2nd edition, where you have 10, 12 hit points or whatnot. Not very much. In Call of Cthulhu, you have a very low pool of hit points, and you take professions. Since it's based off of quote-unquote real world, you have a profession, a job. Could you be a housewife? Sure you could. But the professions is a stand-in for a set of abilities or a set of skills that you might have in that profession to mechanically make up your character. Unlike D&D and other sort of role-playing games, you have it's not based off of a class. A class would be encompassing of a sort of a fighter class, which has archetypes or things that are under it that makes up that sort of class. That's one of the main differences of Call of Cthulhu and D&D, sort of D20 based games. Other types of differences would be it's more centered around investigative approach to expose and gather information on the unknown and the unexplained. You are more like an investigator than a frontline tank or a heroic figure in the D&D sort of world. And as an investigator, and you are human, you are fragile. You are very fragile. Call of Cthulhu historically has a very high lethal count, meaning it is highly likely that your character will die, exposing or getting too close to the mythos. That's not to discourage you. That's more of that it cements that you are a human, as in the H.P. Lovecraft stories, you are human going against or up against cosmic, possibly creatures that are far, far beyond our understanding. It's a game where you are trying to pit your wits against cultists, backstabbing humans, creatures from the depths, and other unknown entities, and try to expose them for what they are and everything that comes from that. It is a game that I'm embracing and I'm enjoying being a dungeon, keeper of arcane lore for. So, finishing up, what kind of advice do I have for a player, a new player to Call of Cthulhu? Well, one of the first and foremost ones I have is do not think that this is D&D, especially if you come from D&D background, if you played D&D before. When you step into the Call of Cthulhu mythos, the world, just jettison anything that reminds you of D&D. You are not a hero. You are not a heroic human rising up from squalor to avenge or to fight against the forces of evil. No, not in Call of Cthulhu. Call of Cthulhu, you are a frail human who is trying to uncover possible secrets that should not be uncovered. You are a human who is trying to stop cultists or whatever else, trying to either destroy the world or to have something unleashed, unlocked, or awakened that quite possibly would end humanity or drive everyone insane. So, as a player, I implore anyone, think of it and take it on as someone who would be very careful on exposing or in exploring as they investigate, such as go to the library in the setting and read as much as you can, get more information on whatever the scenario is entailing. I can almost guarantee you that clues and or the answer to your scenario is found not on the front lines kicking down doors and asking names later, but in the texts and the scrolls and the books in the library. That is one of the most highly underrated actions I think players can do. New players, old experienced players kind of know the deal, but new players, I'm finding, do not understand that concept. They still come from that D&D, take charge, kick through and down the door, ask questions later sort of way, style of play. That's how you want to play. There is Pulp Cthulhu that sort of have that sentiment. But in classic 1920s, you want to take your time and you don't want to rush into anything, not well thought out. One thing I didn't bring up was the mechanical differences in Call of Cthulhu, which would be the way your mentality plays out, your sanity. Call of Cthulhu, you don't have gold, you don't level up, there's no leveling, and there's no sort of like roll to increase your hit points and whatnot. You pretty much have your hit points the entire time as your character, your investigator exists. Hit points don't go up. Now, some of the base stats that you might have do. And mechanically, they are improved upon during either a phase in the game or during a certain time where if you've succeeded in certain roles and certain abilities and certain skills, you can roll at the end of a particular time and roll for improvement of those particular skills, which is great. That's how you quote unquote get better at it. The more you succeed as an ability or skill, the better you are good at it, which makes your effective the next time you roll against it that much higher. So as a player, I would like that if you were thinking about playing Call of Cthulhu, you would basically have the mindset of, I'm going to try to expose and get to know what I'm getting into before I go headstrong into a haunted building or a abandoned mine or anything like that. You want to know everything you can about either the area or what has happened for why you are out there or going out there or will attempt to go out there. That is the biggest advice I can say for a player. And, you know, have fun. Role play the character that you either created, rolled up on your own, or one that you are using a pre-gen from, pre-generated character. Either way, have fun with it and enjoy it. The next thing I could say is, you, as advice to a DM, is take your time, read through material, and try to immerse your players into the scene, the setting, or whatnot. Give an example. I played my primarily on Roll 20, so I have dynamic lighting set up. And dynamic lighting is basically the way you see your token is how you navigate on a grid. Now, that's most of the time I do Theater of the Mind. However, sometimes I like playing on a grid, and the grid is where the 3D, the tokens come in. So if I do use a token, I set the token's vision to be roughly the sight that you would have as a normal human, where you have to take the token and swivel around the token left and right or whatnot to see around your environment. You don't get 360-degree vision automatically. The other thing I do is music, mood music. The way sometimes the music can spur on this feeling of dread or this fear that you might have in a particular situation, especially if it just starts to come out of nowhere and you're sitting there in the dark, well, in the game world darkness, and trying to find your way around. So I would say for DMs, definitely use some sort of immersive techniques. One of the other things that I was setting up to do an in-person game was candles, sort of like a cloth on the table to give you sort of like a seance-y sort of feel. I didn't have real candles. I think I have the LED sort of candles that flickered or whatnot. But, you know, still, you have candles around. You dim the lights. You have the mood music that you have going on. These are sort of the techniques and tips and tricks that you can have for your players to immerse them into the world, the genre that you might be running. It be in 1920s, modern times, or whatever other alternate world setting you might be playing in. Well, that wraps up this session. And I thank you all for joining me. So, in wrapping up, I want to thank you all for joining me for another adventure, and I look forward to greeting you again soon. I want to send out a special thanks to Michael Gelfie and his music. You can find Michael Gelfie's music on YouTube at Michael Gelfie or at his Patreon over at patreon.com/ Michael Gelfie. That's spelled G-H-E-L-F-I. You can also find me on Twitter at DND360. That's DND360. Or send me an email at 360DND@gmail.com. This has been Terrell Shaw for the D&D 360 podcast, signing off.